Okay, looking at the time now, I might be talking quite quickly today, I don't know, but unless you're desperate to go, are you okay listening to me for a few minutes? Is that all right? Okay, that's fantastic. Good to see you. I don't really need to speak this morning because everything that I'm going to say has already been said, so that's good news, isn't it? I've got loads of notes, but don't worry because I started on font size 12. Couldn't see that. Got to font size 14. I'm now on 26. So next time I preach, it'll be like on a piece of paper like this coming in. Anybody else there? Yeah, I know. It's scary, isn't it? I'd encourage you to listen to Andrew's talk last week. It was superb. And it's a basis of what I'm going to be saying today. And thanks very much to Rod. Rod, that's a lovely name, isn't it? Is it Welsh or something like that? No? It's great. Because the why is so crucial of what we're about. We're going to pray. I don't know everybody in the room, so we're going to pray. And those of you at Tracy's baptism yesterday, it was superb. How good was that? Yeah. It's really good to hear Tracy's journey. Didn't she do well? Yeah. The testimony was great. You should be up here. It was fantastic. That was superb. Let's just pray. I don't know where you're all at this morning, but if you don't yet know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're asking the question, what do I need to do? And all you need to do is this, is to just come before him and say, Lord, I want you as my Lord. Yeah. I turn from what I've done. I turn from what I've been in. And I come to you. And so we're going to, right at the outset, pray this prayer. And if you need to pray this prayer and want to pray this prayer, then just do it quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And now I give my life to you. I invite your Holy Spirit to come and help me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've prayed that prayer and you'd like to speak to somebody afterwards, then that would be really good to do that. I was tidying up the bedroom this morning because Adrienne's back tomorrow. She's been over in Romania. She's doing well. She's now visiting Sue in Germany and encouraging Sue out there in Hernhut. But she's back tomorrow. So I was tidying up the bedroom. And I found something that Ruth sent to us a while ago. I've not read this for a while, but it fits in so well. And it says this. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. It's by a guy called Frederick Buchner. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And after Andrew spoke last week, I was reminded of John 3, verse 16. Because, for God, so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know if you've ever been on a journey before. Today I'm talking about vision. Have you ever been on a journey with children in the back seat saying, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Yeah. Are we there yet? It's like you're on a 3-hour journey and you're 10 minutes into it. Are we there yet? And then 10 minutes later, are we there yet? And then a little bit later, and Ellen doesn't do that anymore. She's 22. She waits for 20 minutes. Are we there yet? Grace is getting out of that one. But sometimes the leader you're casting vision and there's that sense with the congregation is saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And the answer is yes, we are. Sarah this morning just sharing what she shared. Closer to God, closer together, closer to others. Yeah. Yes, we are. Yeah. Vision is about where we're going, but it's also about being fulfilled here and now. We are seeing vision fulfilled in our midst. Yesterday at Tracy's baptism, wasn't that amazing? Vision being fulfilled in our midst. As we gather here this morning, vision being fulfilled. And sometimes you can get frustrated because you think one day we will get there. Well, listen, folks, we're there. We're there. And I've just been so impressed by the leaders in this church, leading this church. I'm not talking about me now, okay? the leaders in this church, leading this church into the places where lives are being touched and healed and people being saved and brought into his kingdom? The answer is yes, we are there. Vision isn't some far-off destination we hope to get to one day, but it is happening now, and it is going to be built upon as we strengthen ourselves in where we've got to already. Closer to God, closer together, closer to others. This is a great church. Thinking about all the things that we do. So the why is the John 3:16? Because God so loved the world. How is the closer? What do we do about it? Well, community blessings. I saw a note up there. There's going to be notes in a minute, isn't there? I love the notices. Because it's how we're putting the vision into practice. It's that community blessings is fantastic. Shine is coming up. Who's a street pastor in here? I've been a street pastor. We've got street pastors going out on the streets. What else do we do? There's a few other things. Does somebody shout out something? What do we do as a church? Hope for justice! How good is that? How good is hope for justice? We are fulfilling vision in doing that. We're seeing people set free because of the prayers and because of the fundraising and because of the political impetus that happens through the hope for justice. What else do we do?
Prayer for the nation.
Do you know what? If ever there was a time when our nations need prayer, it is now. We're living in a time of division where there's people with placards saying, refugees and immigrants, welcome. And we've got other people saying, refugees and immigrants, go home. And we've got division within politics. We've got snidey remarks from our politicians. We've got sleaze in the papers. If there's ever a time when our nations need prayer, it's now, whatever your political stance, whatever you think about these things. Every morning when I get in the car and travel to where God has placed me at Seven Stars Primary School, I am fulfilling vision. I'm getting close to children who have had the most awful start in life, and I'm bumping into them into the corridors of my school and saying, you're fantastic, Kira. And I'm saying to the teachers, how are they getting on with their reading and with their writing and with their passport to a life which is far better than the one they've had so far and far better than one their parents had? Yeah. And when I hear them read and I say, well done, Kieran. Yeah. Did really well. Yeah. I am fulfilling vision, the vision of this church. And you are fulfilling vision. When you wake up on a Monday morning and you go to work and you open your Bible and you walk through your neighborhood and you care for your family, you are fulfilling vision. But you need to know why you're doing it, because that will determine how you do it. This morning, we've come in here, and what a great time of worship. Well, I want to say well done to Carl and Andrew. Do you know what? Resilience or what? Perseverance or what? They overcome. Came the obstacle. It's one of the key things I'm teaching in my school at the moment is resilience, because you know what? If we can breed a whole load of children who don't give in, then we've got a nation to talk about and sing about and be proud of, haven't we? Who never give in no matter what. And these guys, let's give them their round of applause. Well done, guys. Woo! Yes! Because when it's buzzing like that, sometimes you think, oh, everybody hates me. It's like they think I've got it wrong and I haven't. It's just... And we need to encourage each other. This morning, as we come to fellowship, we're coming closer together to encourage and support each other. I could not have survived the last 30 years without Ormskirk Christian Fellowship and the people in this church. The amount of cars I've had for free. I just would not be able to get from A to B without some of the beautiful people in this church. The child minding. When Ofsted calls, somebody is actually there to pick up my daughter from school and look after her. And do you know what? That makes a big difference to my life. And I've said this before, the first time I came into OCF, the thing that impacted me most was Dave Mutch's hugs. He is a great hugger. I'll tell you what, one of the best huggers in the world. If you want a hug a bit later on, Dave does it for free. It's amazing. But do you know what it says? It's just that love, isn't it? That acceptance. Because I wasn't used to that. I'm from down south. You know, you don't hug people down south. But up here, you hug people. It's fantastic. I love it. There was a research, a report out. Apparently, the Northwest are the most miserable people. That's in the newspapers. That's ridiculous. How ridiculous is that? You can't believe everything you read in the newspapers, can you? No. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I've got no doubt. Isn't it great, Liz and Pete, they sent out a little text. They want a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
A little Christmas tree. And if they haven't got one yet, let's buy them one.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what? That, it speaks volumes about, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave you to me. Because God so loves your family, he's given them you. He's given your workplace you. Because God so loves Ormskirk, he has given Ormskirk, each one of you, his sons and his daughters. And yes, it is about Jesus Christ and drawing people towards Jesus Christ. But guess where Jesus Christ inhabits? Guess who it is that God is calling to step out with the love of God and overwhelm everybody? You bear and you carry that love of God wherever you... For God so loves the world that he gave his son, his sons, his daughters. He wants the closeness modeled by Christ to be the way that we live our lives. I love Sundays. I love coming here to church. God has given you to me because he loves me. Because he loves me. I wouldn't have survived the last 30 years without the love of God being expressed through you to me. I've got a bit of a tendency to be driven. I tend not to rest until the boxes are ticked. Carl, we don't do that, do we? Till the box has been ticked, I will not rest. But then I carry on to them. Where's the next box? Bring me the boxes, and I want to tick them. I remember going to get Bogdan's family when Rebecca got married, and I drove down to Luton and piled them in the car, and then drove back on the same night, and Bogdan says, he is like a robot, he said. That was his Italian phase. And sometimes I need reminding about why, that love is the why. We can be doing and doing and doing the what, but this determines how we do that. The love. Boxes can be ticked and nothing gained, or boxes can be ticked and the whole world gained, and the difference is whether we do it in his love. God himself has a why. John 3, verse 16, because God so loved the world that he chose to get close and give. How does he love? He gives. How did he give? By getting closer to us, becoming one of us, living amongst us, dying in our place. The vision of God was and is to be closer and to draw us closer to him. When Jesus came, the vision was already being fulfilled at his baptism. And this was being said to Tracy. She may not have heard it in a clear voice yesterday, but this was said to Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, it says, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son whom I love. In him I am already well pleased. Before the how and before the what, there was the why. I love you. We are called to bring the individual gifts and the skills that we have, whether it's volunteering or getting paid for it, whether it is who you chat to after church today. We're called to bring the individual gifts and skills. And we've all got different gifts and skills, haven't we? Praise the Lord. Yes. Isn't that great? Otherwise, Mikhail would never have got fixed. Or whatever. You know, we need that, don't we? It's biblical. So we can bless others with the gifts that God has given us as we get closer to them. It's getting to that time of year in my school where we start to cast the nativity. And I don't know what it is about the three wise men, the three kings, but the teachers always seem to choose two naughty ones and then a really good one. And it's like, I think the idea is that the really good one will show the naughty ones. You've got this really good one who's amazing. He's like born to be a king, and they're like that. And he's got his gift, and he's got his hat on, and he's like walking there, and he's amazing. We three kings of Orient are. And they walk around like that, and the parents are so proud looking at their lovely Harry just doing all of that. It's fantastic. And then you've got the other two who are behind him like that. We three kings of Orient are. And it's like, and then you've got the gift coming from Harry, and it's there at the feet of Jesus. Here's the gift. And then you've got the two naughty ones. Yeah, Mary, off you go. And the whole, I love the kings in the story of the Nativity, because here are these amazing, gifted, clever, skilled people coming to a smelly stable, coming close to a smelly stable. And my question is, what is the gift that you have that you will draw close to others' smelly stables with? Where is the smelly stable that you need to draw close to with the gift of God? I was wondering what God's gift is, actually. I think if God did a gift identification course, we used to do something called network, didn't we? What would his gift be? And I've worked it out. And the gift is creativity. He is so creative, isn't he, God? I think, you know, the Bible starts with, God created the world. Well, you can't top that, can you? I mean, that's like God created the world. If somebody came into my like network course, what have you done in your life? I've created the world. Right, that's your gift. Created the world. Created the world. He brings things to life. He resurrects. He restores. He creates. That's what God is. But the most wonderful thing is that he does it in love. Can you imagine having a God whose gift is to be really creative, but there was no love? What kind of world would we live in? What kind of horrendous world would we live in if this creative God was not loving? Without love, the skill and the ministry of God would have been destructive. It would be like us doing ministry without love. It would jar like a clanging cymbal. It would breed legalism and strife and negativity and resentment and division. When we get closer to minister with power and authority, we've got to always do it in love, and love must flow through it, God's love. Because as we get closer to others, guess what? We will see their darkness, and we will see their pain, and they will see ours. And without love, we would give in. But love sees us through. Love looks beyond. Our vision is not to be closer. Our vision is to love. And closer is how we do it. God's love in us says, get closer. It's the inner urge that motivates us, the love of God. When you've been forgiven much, you love much. And a lot of this, I'm just repeating what Andrew said last week, but I want to underline it because this is what it's about why we do what we do. Jesus could have stayed in heaven on his throne, enjoying the love of the Father, but because God so loved the world, he came down to us. When street pastors go out on a Friday night to be close to others and someone mocks or criticizes or laughs, which I'm sure that never happens, I'm sure there's nobody ever saying anything, do they give up? No, they keep getting closer because it's love that motivates them and love that sees beyond and chooses to get close, and that love with God that strengthens them. Because sometimes, you know, if you go out and somebody says something nasty, oh, no, you know, they've said something nasty about me, I can't carry on getting close. But God says, push through. Yeah. As we read through Mark's gospel, we see the closer vision that Jesus lived out. In Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. I just love Mark's gospel. I've been reading through Mark's gospel. And I was sat at the lake. Well, I say a lake. It's like a pond up at Edge Hill. There's like a little beachy thing. Have you ever been up there? There's a little beachy thing, and there's a little table, and there's a little lake or a pond there. It's lovely. But this is the lake, the lake next to where Jesus lived, the Galilee, which is a bit bigger than the one at Edge Hill. And it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. He goes to where the crowds are by the lake. A crowd that was so large, a crowd that no doubt contained critics and cynics, fanatics and erratics, those who mocked and those who were shocked, the anointed and the disappointed. all in one place. I mean, you guys are fantastic. You sat there just listening to me. I don't even get this in school. It's fantastic. You're so well trained. You're unbelievably polite people. Nobody's interrupted. Nothing. Nobody's picking their nose. Nobody's like spinning around on their bottom. I'm just not used to it. But Jesus wanted to be by the lake because that was where the people were. He wanted to be close to the need, close to the sick, close to the lost, because God so loved the world. In the noise and the distractions, with constant mutters of criticism and ignorance and accusation. I tell you, read Mark's gospel, and every other verse is somebody wanting to kill Jesus or accusing him or criticizing him or mocking him or laughing at him or trying to get him to do what they wanted all the time. Constant for Jesus. Constant. And yet it keeps saying he went into somebody's home. He went to the synagogue. He went to the Sea of Galilee. He went by the lake. Jesus continued to push through to get closer and closer and closer and closer. And he knew they were muttering and he knew they were criticizing. Jesus ministered where the whole of life was. Jesus ministered where he was and where others were. Where are you? Who are the ones you are drawing closer to? See, Jesus didn't sit and wait for the others to get close to him in his synagogue. I'm such a great teacher, everybody's going to come and listen to me. But he went out to them and got close to them. And no matter where we are, Sunday morning, Monday morning, our call is the same call that was on the life of Jesus. Get closer with the love of God and be the love of God to those around you. At work, my job has changed a bit. I used to be a classroom teacher. Now I have an office. Don't tell Ofsted this. Not that I care anymore. But don't tell Ofsted this. But in my office, I have piles of paper that one day I'll get around to. Because do you know what I prefer to do? I love getting down into the classrooms with the corridors and talking to Lauren and Laura and Lucy and Lily and just, how are you getting on? How you do? I love that. I love just being close to them. And one day I'll get around to the paperwork in my office. So hopefully Ofsted don't listen to this. Jesus loved to be close to people. We're living at a time when there seems to be a growing division between those who want to draw everyone together and those who want to divide and hate. And Jim said, we are called to make a godly demand on the resources of heaven. For those we are close to, regardless of gender or sexual orientation or faith or culture or background or behavior or opinion or personality, for God so loved the world. And our call is, no matter who they are, draw them to the love of God. And in Mark 5, we read a story. I won't read through it now. We haven't got time, but I'm going to tell you about it. It's a great story. Mark 5, we read of one of those people, a violent, aggressive, demon-possessed man who would be in prison if he was in our society. He was chained up, naked. People tried to help him, and he hurt them and maimed them. Jesus got close to him when everyone else had failed. And to cut a long story short, he threw the demons into the lake. Okay. And this man was healed. This man was restored. And this demon-possessed man who had been set free wanted to follow Jesus on his mission. Take me with you. He wanted to be near the person who had saved him, the person who had set him free. And maybe part of him was worried that, am I going to go back to how it used to be? I just want to be next to this miracle worker. And Jesus says an interesting thing to him. He says, go home to your own people. Go to where you are. Go to where God has placed you. Get closer to them and tell them. Jesus says, go to where you are. In the women's refuge and in the hospital and in the college and in the school and in the home and in the family and in the neighborhood and in the call center and in the construction yard and in the get close to those who know you. That way we fulfill vision. And tell them about God's love. I've often had the desire to go into full-time Christian ministry and give up working in a community primary school. There are times when I felt like that's a little bit stronger than others. When you're being spat at and kicked and parents are banging on your door, and maybe that'll happen one day. But for now, I am where God has placed me. And there I fulfill vision amongst those who God has given to me. Because God so loved them that he gave them me. I have the privilege of being close to children who've witnessed so much and been through so much in their young lives. You in your workplace, your family, your neighborhood, you're fulfilling vision as you draw close to others with God's love. And finally, before we have our cup of tea and we fulfill more of the vision, before we have our cup of tea and fulfill more of the vision, being closer together is so crucial to fulfill that vision. Again, I'm going to quote Jim, who quoted somebody else. It was a Wingman's blog, I think it was, that you just like one of the little things that was in one of Jim's talk. And I think I've quoted this right. It says something like this: assertive teamwork is the key to mission success. Assertive teamwork is the key to mission success. Imagine doing any of this stuff alone, anything alone. I felt carried on the prayers of this church over the last few years. And you know the times when you could really sense it, can't you? I don't know if you've ever sensed that, where you just wake up in the morning and think, whoa, there are people praying for me right now. I can feel that. You know, have you ever felt that?
Yeah.
It's amazing, really, and it's just at the right time. And a day that you thought was just going to nosedive becomes one of those days where you just glide on the grace of God, and it's just amazing. It's through the prayers of God's people. For God so loved the world that he gave me praying friends. God so loved me. Adrienne is amazing. My wife, that's my wife, if you don't know. Adrienne is amazing. She should be preaching this, but she's not, so. She's been out in Romania, and she's meant to be in Romania looking after, well, she has been, Rebecca and New Eliana. But she also went out on the streets with Bogdan to Baia Mare and was praying with people on the streets. That's just Adrienne. It's what she does. She just gets out there and she does it, and she's been praying with people. You take her to China and she'll pray with waitresses in restaurants or next to the lake and cast out demons. And you take her to Morocco and she'll be on a rooftop praying with a Muslim. That's my wife. Woo! I'm not like that, but I want to be. I want to be more like her. You know, it's like Sarah over there, like in the middle of the hub. I'll just pray for you. Isn't that great? You know, I've offered to pray for people and they've said no. You know, I've fallen out with him upstairs. I don't want you to pray with me. And sometimes you think, oh, you feel a bit embarrassed. You feel a little bit rejected. But I'd rather be like that than for that one time when I've had people who've said, yeah, please pray with me. I had one of the teachers in my school, and I offered to pray with her, and she said yes, and there was a real answer to prayer there. And you know, God is great, isn't he? Sometimes we just have to step out there. But Adrienne is amazing. Street pastors always go out together. Adrienne could not have done those things without being with other people. If one person turns up on a Friday night, you don't go out, do you? You don't go out. It's about being team. Jesus gathered his disciples. Closer together is crucial because we need each other. Not for a holy huddle, but so we can open up and reach out.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room has got someone they're close to who has a world of need.
That's true.
A world of need.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish with three questions. For God so loved the world, how can you this week, before next Sunday, get closer to God? What will you do to continue to fulfill that vision of getting closer to God? Just for a moment, what will you do this week to get closer to God? Question number two. You might be able to guess them now. What will you do this week to get closer together? To continue to fulfill that vision of getting closer to the people in church. And when I say in church, including beautiful people who return. The people that we know. Those that we fellowship with. What will you do this week before next Sunday to get closer together? I'm pausing so you can think about it. And the third question is this. What can you do? I want to do a different question, but I can't, can I? What? What will you do this week to get closer to others? To fulfill that vision and continue to fulfill that vision. Maybe to build on something else that you've already started. Maybe it is that Sarah goes to Taz this week and say, you know, you said about coming to church. I bet this Sunday. Maybe it is for Bernard. You know, you said you didn't want prayer. Well, have you thought about it again? Yeah. What about me in my workplace? A little girl whose mum died a year ago of cancer. She told her daughter that I'm fighting the baddies and I'm going to win. She didn't. I went into hospital and didn't come home. Her dad is an addict. She was taken away from her dad. A year later, her dad died. She wants to be a nurse. She's not the brightest little girl in school, but she has within her a world of care that one day is going to bless somebody because of what she's been through. God is going to use that little girl. And because I'm in that school, I'm going to pray for that to happen. Because she's delightful. I mean, that could send somebody over the edge, couldn't it? Mm-hmm. And it did send a brother over the edge. But that little girl is a delight. And when she's down the corridor, I say, I'm not going to use a real name. I say, Lucy, you're fantastic. Look at that. You've got a beautiful coat on this morning. Oh, that's lovely. I love that. You've gone up a reading level. Yes. High five me. Certificates and stickers and nurture and putting money into place so that she can receive counseling and making sure that her teachers are pushing her on. We, wherever we are fulfilling vision. And I want you to look at your life right now and stop putting yourselves down and start saying, I am making a difference for the kingdom of God where I am. Start to see where that need is. I'm going to finish with this. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Let's pray. Amazing God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you chose to come close to us and that you choose every day to draw us near to you. Lord God, amazing God, we thank you that you have placed us where we are. And we ask that your vision would rise within us to draw close with your love to those around us. And that those conversations that we have that for us may seem just small conversations to somebody else may be the world to them. And the moments, Lord, when my mum on her post round knocked on somebody's door whose husband had just died and spent 2 minutes having a cup of tea with them meant the world to them. And I say, Lord God, as a church, I'm so proud of Ormond Kirk Christian Fellowship. The constant stepping out into vision and into getting close, into getting close, into getting close. And we just ask for a continuing growth of the blaze that, Lord, we would set this place alight, Lord, this community and the places that we impact individually and as a church, that we would share the love of God for those around us, because there is a world of hunger that needs to meet the gladness that we've found. Amen. 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 If somebody wants to get the children, that'd be great. I'll ask Dave to come and do the notices. Thank you.